All right, well, we're there in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And tonight, like I announced this morning, I'm preaching on the subject of fear. And I'm preaching a sermon entitled, How to Overcome Fear. Earlier this week, we got an email, somebody asking us a question. And honestly, every week we get emails from people all over the country and all over the world asking Bible questions and sending testimonies of how this church has been a blessing to them. And one of these days, I'm going to start printing those emails and reading them to you. Maybe they'll be a blessing to you as they're a blessing to us. But it was the second question, the second time that fear had been brought up to me. And I thought, well, maybe I'm in between these Sunday night series right now. I'm kind of preaching just some standalone sermons. And I thought, well, maybe it's appropriate that we deal with the subject of fear. Because there is a lot of fear out there right now. A lot of things to be afraid of. And I want to teach you or preach to you on the subject of how to overcome fear. You're there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Like you notice, verse number 7, the Bible says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And just by way of introduction, I'd like to begin by talking about this idea of fear. And there's what I would refer to as healthy fear and unhealthy fear. And here the Bible is teaching us, and the Apostle Paul is saying, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And this would be referring, of course, to unhealthy fear or to a wrong type of fear. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, if you would. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. And right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 1. And the Bible does speak about fear negatively. All throughout the Bible, fear is a negative thing. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not supposed to fear. There's only one time, really, in the Bible that we are told to fear, and that is to fear God. So not all fear is wrong. There is a such thing as healthy fear, and then there is unhealthy fear. And the Bible tells us to fear God, and a healthy fear of God is a good thing. Proverbs chapter 1, if you would, look at verse number 7. The Bible says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Notice the Bible says that if you want to have knowledge, you must begin with the fear of the Lord. Go to Proverbs chapter 8, if you would. Just flip over to chapter 8 and look at verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, the Bible says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Flip over to chapter 9, if you would. Look at verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So notice, we're told the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We're told the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're told the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There is something very good about fearing the Lord, of having a healthy fear for the Lord. Go to the book of Job, if you would. Job chapter 13. I think I said we're going to be in Job 13 this week, but we're going to be in Job 14 this week. We're in Job 13 last week. Go back to Job. You're there in Proverbs. And do me a favor, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there in Proverbs, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. But go to Job, if you would. You're going to go past Psalms into the book of Job, Job chapter 13. And let me just say this. The Bible says that it is a good thing, it is a healthy thing to fear the Lord. So not all fear is unhealthy. In fact, God is the one who gave us the ability to fear. And there is some good in fear, and there's some fear that is healthy. Obviously, we're talking about fearing the Lord. That is very healthy. But even just that feeling of fear, you know, if you're ever out in you know, hiking or something, and you walk up to some cliff that has some steep fall, and you kind of get that feeling of you know, you're kind of scared. Hey, that's a good thing. You know, God put that in you to help you. There is a such thing as healthy fear. There is a such thing as a fear that will help you stay out of trouble, not do dumb things. And that healthy fear is really of the Lord, and it's from the Lord, and it's something that's good. And today, you have lots of liberal type Christians who try to explain away the fear of the Lord. And I'm not necessarily preaching about the fear of the Lord tonight, but I do want to explain this. You have all these verses that tell us to fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. And they'll try to explain it away and say, no, you're not. It's not like you're supposed to be like scared of God, but it's just an awe of God or a reverence of God. And I will say that, of course, we are to be in awe of God and we should have reverence for God. But when the Bible says to fear God, that's exactly what it means. That we should be afraid of God. Job chapter 13. Notice verse number 11. This is what Job said to his friends. We saw this on Wednesday night, but I just want to show it to you quickly. Job chapter 13 and verse 11. He says, shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? The word dread means to have this fear. Other places in scripture, and I won't take the time to go through them, but we're told that we should stand, that we should be terrified of God, that God is full of terror, and that we should be afraid of him. And look, yes, we should be in reverence. We should have reverence to God. We should be in awe of God. But there should be a healthy fear of what God can do to you and I if we cross him. There should be a healthy fear of just the Lord and his wrath. And people act like, well, that's at odds with the love of God. But you know that you can love and you can fear God all at the same time. There's a perfect balance of loving the Lord and fearing the Lord. And by the way, let me say this. That's a good parenting will have a healthy balance of love and fear. You know, your kids should love you and they should fear you. Now look, if all they do is fear you, there's a problem there. You're probably abusing them. If they're just shaking every time you walk by, you might want to figure out, you know, you might want to study the Bible and figure out what you're doing there wrong, because that's not supposed to be the reaction you get from your kids. But you know, if they just love you, but they're constantly crossing you and they're not afraid of you, that's a problem too. Good parenting, like God our Father, will have a healthy balance of love and fear. When I was growing up, I'll tell you, I love my parents. When I was a kid, I love them now, of course, but I was very afraid of my parents growing up. You know, if you ask me, I'm a little scared of them now. And, there's just this healthy balance of love and fear, love and fear. So God tells us, the Bible tells us that we are to fear the Lord, but that doesn't mean that we don't love the Lord, because he's a good father, and there's this balance of love and fear. But when the Bible says fear, hey, it means fear. It means tremble. It means shake in your boots. It means dread. It means terror because of what the Lord can do to you. Go to the book of Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 10 in the New Testament. Keep your place in Proverbs and go to Matthew chapter 10. So we know that there's a healthy fear. Obviously, just in general, if you're walking up to the side of a cliff, you might be a little scared of that. That's a good thing. And then, of course, there's the healthy fear, and the healthiest of fears is the fear of the Lord. But there is also an unhealthy fear. And again, we're not talking about physically being safe. You know, if you see a lion, you or a bear, you're out camping and you see some big bear, you know, there should be a little fear in you that God put in you that makes you, you know, step back and not just, you know, walk up and pet it, right? So there is a healthy fear that God placed there, and that should be a fear of the Lord. But then there's unhealthy fear. And you say, what is unhealthy fear? Pretty much everything else. Everything that we fear instead of God. Everything that we're afraid of instead of God. And throughout the Gospels, and I'll just show you some examples from the book of Matthew, but we could look at it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Throughout the Bible, Jesus is continuously telling his disciples and his followers and other people to fear not, to not be afraid. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 26. I'll just give you some examples. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26, the Bible says this: fear them not, therefore. And again, I'm not going to take the time to show you the whole context. You can study that out on your own. But I just want you to notice that Jesus is constantly telling people, fear not, don't be afraid. He says, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Look at verse 28, same chapter. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. The Bible says, Jesus said, and fear not, them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And of course, that's talking about the Lord and about God. He says, you ought to fear God, but you know you ought not fear. He says, fear not them which kill the body. Look at verse 31, same chapter. He says, fear ye not, therefore. Ye're of more value than many sparrows. Go to Matthew chapter 14, if you would. Look at verse 27. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27. Matthew 14, 27, the Bible says this, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Notice what he says, be not afraid. Jesus just constantly telling his disciples and his followers and people around him, he's saying, fear ye not, fear not, be not afraid. The Bible says there, he says, be not afraid. Look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 7. Matthew 17, if you flip over in a couple of chapters, verse number 7, the Bible says this, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise. Notice what he says, and be not afraid. He's constantly telling people, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear them not. Fear ye not. Go to Matthew 28. Look at verse 10. Matthew 28, verse 10. This is the resurrected Christ after he is seen by his disciples. Matthew 28, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now I want you to notice that Jesus is constantly telling his followers, his disciples, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Now, he's not telling them not to be afraid of God, because he actually said that in Matthew 10, 28. We're going to come back to that passage later, where he says, rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But other than that, as far as fearing people, fearing circumstances, fearing outcomes, fearing things around us, he's constantly saying, fear them not, fear not, fear ye not, be not afraid, be not afraid. He says, look, don't be afraid. Why? Because there's healthy fear, a fear of God, and then there's unhealthy fear, which is fear of everything else. And Jesus would tell us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And what we would say to Jesus is, well, that's easier said than done. Because there are things that make us afraid. Isn't that true? I mean, things happen and the economy does this and we kind of get afraid. Fear is our imagination running rampant with the worst possible outcomes. And we tend to just imagine that, you know, well, what if this guy gets elected? Then what? Well, you know what? The sun's going to rise. And we'll just move on. Well, what if this happens with my job situation, or what if this happens with my children situation, or what if this happens in my relationship, or what if this happens with my health? You know, and there's all these outcomes that we're afraid of, and Jesus would look at you and say, be not afraid. He would say, you can overcome fear. And the reason that we must overcome fear is because the devil has figured out how to use fear in order to motivate and manipulate us. I mean, the world is constantly using fear to scare us. The world is constantly using fear to try to manipulate us, to try to move us in their direction with their agenda. And Jesus would say, fear not. The only thing you need to be afraid of is God. And here's the truth. If you and I could live a life that is, instead of full of fear, is fearless, we would be much better Christians. Now, I will say this, that I don't know that any of us will ever be able to live a life that is completely fearless, because we're humans, because we're weak, because we're clay. I don't know that any of us will ever, and I'm including myself in that number, will ever be able to live a life that is completely fearless. But I will say this, I believe that you and I can learn to live lives that fear less. Lives of less fear. We can learn to overcome fear. We can learn to have less fear. You say, how can we do that? I'd like to give you three reasons tonight, three thoughts in regards to how to overcome fear. Because if you're human, you will fear. If you're human, you will find yourself afraid at times. And we must learn to overcome fear. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter number 20. Towards the end of the beginning of the Bible, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Uncertainty makes us afraid. Change makes us afraid. Not the unknown makes us afraid. We're very fearful people, but we can learn to fear less. We can learn to overcome fear. How can we do it? Let me give you three thoughts. I'd encourage you to write these down if you can. Number one, how to overcome fear. Number one, avoid those who are afraid. If you want to overcome fear, you must learn to avoid those who are afraid. You don't want to be around fearful people. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, we have instructions for going to battle. And I want you to notice that God is giving the children of Israel here instructions to go into battle. And this is a great example because going to battle is something that's pretty scary. Something that could make you very afraid. And He gives some spiritual reasons, some good reasons why you may not want to go into battle. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 20, look at verse 1. The Bible says this, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou," notice what he says, "be not afraid of them." And we would say, well, that's easier said than done. He says, "For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest," I want you to notice, this is the spiritual leadership of the children of Israel, the priest. The priest shows up as the spiritual leaders and gives some spiritual reasons, some good reasons, why you may not want to go into battle. "That the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say." So look, everything the priests are about to tell us, they're going to send people home. Tell people, you're not going to go into battle. And these are all good reasons. These are biblical, godly, spiritual reasons why you may not want to go into battle. Verse 3, "And shall say," these are the priests speaking, "unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble." And I would again just encourage you and challenge you. As you read the Bible, notice that the only time we're ever told to fear, it's to fear God. Any other time, fear is a negative thing. "Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them." Notice verse 4. "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Notice verse 5. "And the officers shall speak unto the people." Now I want you to notice. He says, "And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying," here are the reasons that the priest has given, spiritual reasons through the officers, why they might want to not go into battle. "What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it." The Bible, God would give, you know, reasons you could opt out of the draft here. And he says, look, if you just built a house and you haven't had a chance to dedicate it, you built a house and you haven't even, you know, had a welcoming party, you know, then just go home. We don't, you know, because you maybe you'll die and you'll never be able to enjoy that house. So you can catch us the next battle. You go so you don't die in the battle, another man dedicate it. Look at verse 6. "And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat it." He said, look, if you put the time and the energy and the effort to plant a vineyard, but you've not yet reaped the benefits, he says, go home. You don't have to go into this battle. You go home and take care of that, lest he die in the battle and another man eat it. Look at verse 7. "And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her." So he says, look, somebody started the process of marriage and has not yet finished it. He hasn't yet taken his wife. Then look, you go home and lest he die in the battle and another man take her. Those are all positive reasons, spiritual reasons, why in the Old Testament you may not want to go into battle. Then in verse 8, we get one selfish reason why you should not go into battle. Look at verse 8. "And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house. He says, if you're afraid, he's, you know, they send, hey, anyone build a house recently? Yeah, I built a house. You get a chance to dedicate it. Now we're going to move in, and then, you know, we got drafted. You go ahead and go home. Anybody plant a vineyard? Yeah, we plant a vineyard. Have you been able to eat the fruit thereof yet? No, well, you know, it's starting to spring up, and, well, you go home. Anybody just got married, just got betrothed, but I haven't finished it, I haven't taken my wife yet. Well, you go ahead and go home. Then they ask this question, who's scared? Who's afraid? Who's fearful? And, you know, I don't know how many people would raise their hands, but I'm sure some few cowards said, I'm scared. And they said, go home. Go home if you're afraid. See, the Bible teaches that you do not want to be around fearful people. You say, why? Because fear is contagious. Fear will spread. I mean, look at verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house. Notice this word, lest. The word lest means to avoid the risk of. He says, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. He says, look, you want to send someone who's scared home, because if they're scared, that will spread. Fear is contagious. Fear will spread. So if you want to overcome fear, you must avoid those who are afraid, because their fear will spread unto you. You'll catch it. You'll catch fear. Go to the book of Numbers, if you would. Numbers chapter 13. You're there in Deuteronomy. Just head back to the book of Numbers. Let me give you one example of this in the Bible. Numbers chapter 13. You remember the story when Moses sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? The song we sing with the kids. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27, the Bible says this. This is when they return. And they told him, these are the spies speaking to Moses and to the congregation, and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They brought fruit from the land of Canaan. They said, look, everything God said about that land was true. It flowed with milk and honey. Look at this fruit. And then they said this, verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, now Caleb wasn't afraid. Caleb was one of the two good spies. We have Caleb and Joshua who are the good spies. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Notice verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Your imagination starts bringing about the worst possible outcome. Once we go fight those Jebusites, once we go fight those giants, those walls were pretty strong and those walls were pretty tall. Notice verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that saw it, are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. These people were scared and afraid. They saw the giants and they said, we can't beat them. They started imagining the worst possible outcome. They said, we cannot beat them. They are stronger than us. They brought up an evil report. They came back scared. And notice Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. Their fear spread, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. See, if you want to overcome fear, you need to learn to avoid those that are afraid. If you want to overcome fear, you need to learn to avoid those that are afraid. You say, why? Because fear is contagious. Other people's fear may make you fear. One way to overcome fear is to stop listening to people who are afraid. I mean, the best, greatest example we could use right now is the situation with COVID-19. And listen, as far as coronavirus is concerned, I realize you guys have all sorts of theories out there, and I don't need you to send me your YouTube stuff, okay? As far as coronavirus, I mean, it's a real sickness. I believe it's a real sickness, and for certain people in high-risk categories, it could be deadly. And if someone is in that high-risk situation, then I understand why they would want to be careful, and I understand why. Because for certain people, and we're not just talking about older people, there's people with immunity issues and whatever, there are situations where it might actually affect them in a very bad way. And if you live with someone that's high risk and you're around someone that's high risk, I understand taking precautions. I don't have anything against that. But what's interesting to me about the coronavirus situation is that there seems to be two different worlds that the coronavirus lives in. There's the world of the media and the politicians. I mean, if you just locked yourself up in a house since January of this year, never left, and all you knew about coronavirus was what you heard from the politicians and the media, you would think that the Black Plague has spread across our nation. I mean, you would think that there's just bodies being piled up. I mean, sometimes I'm driving down the road and I'm running some errands or whatever, and I'm like, turn on the radio just to kind of hear what's going on or whatever. And I start listening to the news and my heart starts shaking. I'm like, good night, it's going to get me. I mean, the way they talk, the way they act, it's like, the sky is falling, the world is falling apart. You know, there's the world, there's the coronavirus world of the media and politicians, and it's like the worst thing ever. And then you go to the real world. You know, you go pick up a Christmas tree and everybody's happy and people are singing Christmas carols. You go to the store and Merry Christmas. And everybody's got their mask on because they have to have a mask on. But, you know, everybody's just going about their day. And it's like, these are two different worlds. These worlds don't really seem to match. There's like, there's the Gavin Newsom, the sky's falling. And then there's the real world. And look, I'm not saying that we shouldn't wash our hands and we shouldn't take caution and we shouldn't be careful around people that are high risk. I understand all that. But here's all I'm telling you. You know, sometimes I watch young people that, you know, I'm looking at these people, they look healthy and strong and they're just acting so scared. And it's like, man, maybe you should turn off CNN. Maybe you should turn off the radio. Maybe you should stop listening to all these people that are scared, because if you want to overcome fear, you must avoid those who are afraid. You don't want to be around fearful people because fear is contagious. And you know, I don't know how much coronavirus has spread, but I can tell you this, fear has spread across our nation. And again, we should be careful. I understand high-risk classes of people that want to be careful and should take precautions, and I understand all that. But look, if you want to avoid fear, you must avoid the fearful. If you want to avoid those who are afraid, if you want to overcome fear, you must avoid those who are afraid, because fear is contagious. And look, just in life, in general, go to the book of Matthew, if you would, Matthew chapter 10. In general, you ought to consider the fact that fear can be contagious. There are people in my life, we attempt to do things here at Verity Baptist Church, and we attempt to, you know, I've learned that there are people in my life, there are the encouragers who, anytime I say, hey, we should do this, they're like, let's do it. Praise the Lord. God can do it. You know, whatever. And I love those people. They encourage me along the way. I have to be careful about being only around those people, because those people will also get me into trouble. And then there are some people, and yeah, I'll tell you, my wife is the main person, who will just see things for reality. I mean, she won't be negative, but she won't sugarcoat it for me. She'll say, well, have you thought about this? And I'm like, man, can you not bring that up? Nobody on my staff brought that up. Well, what about this and what about that? And we need those people. We need people that are going to bring clarity to a situation. And obviously the Bible says that in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So it's good to get counsel from lots of people. But you know, I've learned that there are some people you just want to avoid. Because it doesn't matter how easy the win, it doesn't matter how good the deal is, it doesn't matter how just benign, everything's always negative. Everything's like, no, that's never going to work. No, you're going to split the church. You know, and there's some people in life that I just kind of avoid because it doesn't matter what you're doing, it's always bad, it's always not going to work. And look, that fear can get in you. So be realistic. Be realistic about life. Be realistic about your situation. And look, and if you've got somebody in your home that's in that high-risk category of coronavirus, wash your hands, wear a mask, do what you got to do to keep them safe. But at the same time, just don't live in fear. You don't have to be overcome by fear. Avoid those who are afraid. And look, in whatever area. Say, I'm really afraid about what the economy's gonna do. Maybe you should stop listening to economists. Maybe you should stop watching those YouTube videos. Because fear spreads. Fear is contagious. It will spread. So to overcome fear, we must avoid those who are afraid. And look, here's what the Bible says. If you're going to go into battle with someone, you don't want your wingman to be someone who's scared. Because that fear will spread. Here's point number two. I said number one, to overcome fear, we must avoid those who are afraid. Number two, to overcome fear, we must consider the realistic consequences. We must consider the realistic consequences. And we're going to look at this verse, and we already saw it, but we're going to dissect it here. And this is Jesus, and this is why I think Jesus, you know, I think Jesus sometimes he just kind of had a little bit of a divine smart aleck attitude. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, notice what he says. He says, and fear not them. Notice what he says. And fear not them. And fear not them. And he's about to give us an example of something you shouldn't be afraid of. I mean, you would think, because here's like you and I would say it, right? And fear not them that make fun of you. Because sticks and stones can break your bones, but words won't ever hurt you, right? That's what we would say. That's what we would say to our kids, right? And fear not them that, you know, we'd give some sort of thing there. That's like, it's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. Jesus, and maybe with a smile on his face, says, and fear not them which kill the body. And we're kind of like, isn't that kind of like the thing? Isn't that like the most scary thing? I mean, the main thing. Fear not them which kill the body. Really? Like, that's the thing I'm most afraid of, Jesus. I mean, you see kind of his sarcasm? He says, and fear not them. He's saying, what's the worst thing that someone could really do to you? I mean, come on. He says, and fear not them which kill the body. He says, but are not able to kill the soul. He said, you know there's something worse than dying? He said, what could possibly be worse than dying of coronavirus? You know what could possibly be worse than dying of coronavirus? Is dying of coronavirus and going to hell. Amen. And fear not them which kill the body. And we're kind of like, isn't that kind of it? Isn't that the biggest thing? Isn't that the thing we're most afraid of? Isn't that the nightmares you have at night? You're running and someone's trying to kill you. Isn't that the biggest fear? And Jesus would say, no. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And what Jesus does, he kind of sarcastically brings fear into perspective and he says, aren't you saved? I mean, aren't you sure you're on your way to heaven? Because we can have this conversation if you need to. Don't we ask people, do you know for sure if that day you're on your way to heaven? I mean, if we ask you that question, do you know for sure if that day you go to heaven? I would hope most people in this room would say, yeah, I'm 100% sure. What do you trust in to get you to heaven? My faith in Jesus Christ. He's died on the cross for my sins. I placed my faith in him. I called upon him for salvation. Do you believe you could lose your salvation? No, nothing can take it away. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can take away my salvation. It's eternal security. He says, okay, well, if salvation guarantees that your soul is going to heaven when you die, then what exactly is the worst possible thing that someone could do to you? And Jesus would kind of smiling, I think, say, fear not them which kill the body. I mean, that's like the worst thing they could do to you is just kill the body. But are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And here's all I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying. To overcome fear, you should consider the realistic consequences. And you gotta ask yourself, what is the worst possible thing that could actually happen? And then you gotta ask this question, for a Christian, is that really that bad? Go to Psalms, if you would, Psalm 56. If you kept your place in Proverbs, just right before Proverbs, you have the book of Psalms. And look, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm trying to help you understand something. We get so afraid. Well, if this doesn't work out with my business, and this doesn't work out with my job, and this doesn't work out with my career, And then you gotta just kind of perspective, just step back for a minute and ask yourself, well, what really is the worst possible thing that could happen here? I could lose my house! And then you go live somewhere else? I could lose my car! You couldn't afford it anyway. I might have to, you know, shop at Walmart! Okay. Look, when it comes to overcoming fears, sometimes we should just consider the realistic consequences and realize that when you're a Christian, it's really not that bad. I mean, if they kill my body, it's really not that bad. If they take it all, I'm still ahead. Because I'm with Christ. Because I'm in Christ. See, Jesus would say, why are you afraid of the Romans? Why are you afraid of the Jews? Why are you afraid? Well, they could kill us. And Jesus said, so? I mean, if you're on your way to heaven, they're not able to kill your soul. He says, rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Psalm 56, look at verse 4. Psalm 56, verse 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. Notice this. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. When my trust is in God, what's the worst possible thing that a human being can do to me? Psalm 118, look at verse 6. Psalm 118, verse 6. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Bible says this, the Lord is on my side. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Question mark. What's the worst thing that man can do to you? What can they take from you? What's the worst possible consequence? Here's what I'm telling you. When you're overcome by fear, you ought to avoid those that are afraid. And you ought to consider the realistic consequences. What's the worst possible thing that could happen here? And when you're a Christian, is it really that bad? I've told you this story before. Years ago, Jack Hiles and John R. Rice were preaching together. John R. Rice was preaching for Jack Hiles at his church in Hammond, Indiana. This is a story I was told. I don't know if it's true, but it's a good story. They stepped out through a back door into an alley, which is often where the preachers would step out after a service. And when they stepped out into that alley, a guy came out of the shadows to mug them with a gun. Put a gun right up to Brother Hiles' stomach and said, give me all your money or I'll blow your gun, blow your brains out. And John R. Rice began to laugh. And the guy looked at him and said, what are you laughing at? He said, well, you put the gun in his stomach and you said you'll blow his brains out. And the guy said, you think I'm joking? You're not scared? And the story goes that John R. Rice, I don't know if this really happened, but the story goes that John R. Rice said, you can't scare me with heaven. And look, if you're a Christian, here's all I'm telling you. If you're a Christian, the worst possible thing that somebody could do to you is kill you. You say, yeah, I know. But if you're saved, is it really that bad? If you lose your job, is it really that bad? If you lose your house, is it really that bad? If you have to live in a smaller house, if you have to drive an older car, if you have to wear clothes that were used, is it really that bad? You don't have to fear what man can do to you. Who you should fear is the one who can throw you both soul and body in hell. Let me give you a third point. Go back to the book of Actually, go to the book of Mark if you would. In the New Testament, you have Matthew, and then you have the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're talking about how to avoid fear. It's a very fearful times we're living in. At least they want you to be afraid. Listen to the news. They want you to be scared. All of them want you to be scared. They use fear as a manipulation tactic. I mean, the Democrats say, if we don't vote in Joe Biden, Trump's going to destroy this country, and Trump's going to do this and do that. But you know what? The other side says the same thing. The Republicans are, if you let Joe Biden in, and look, Joe Biden's bad. I'm just saying, they all use fear to try to manipulate us, to motivate us, to get us. And here's what I'm saying. Look, we should be smart. We should be responsible. But don't live in fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. How do you overcome fear? Well, number one, avoid those who are afraid. Number two, consider the realistic consequences. Here's number three. Focus on faith over fear. Focus on faith over fear. In Mark chapter 4, we have an interesting story. It's very, again, kind of Jesus, I think, you know, he had a little bit of a sense of humor. I could be wrong about this. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 36, the Bible says this, and when they had sent away the multitudes, they just got done doing a big ministry. Mark 4, 36, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, I don't know a lot about boating and a lot about fishing, and I didn't grow up doing that, and I'm not into that kind of stuff, and I don't know a lot about it, but I know this. When you get the water inside the boat, that's probably not a good thing. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Notice verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. This is why I think Jesus had a little bit of a sense of humor. I mean, isn't this kind of your worst nightmare? You're on a ship that's going to go down, and the one guy that can save you is asleep. It's kind of like your worst nightmare, isn't it? This is like the thing you'd be most afraid of. Some of you are like, that's my life. I'm like in this storm of life right now, and it seems like Jesus is asleep. I'm in this storm of life, and it seems like God is just asleep. He's not paying attention. And they awake him. Notice verse 38. And say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Where we get that great hymn from. Notice verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, notice these words, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He says, look, the reason you're so fearful right now is because you have so little faith. And he says, if you want to overcome fear, you know what you should do? You should focus on faith over fear. See, we like to focus on fear over faith. We like to focus on the big old Goliath and say, that's scary. I don't want to fight that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. And Jesus says, why are you so fearful? And they're kind of like, well, you know, there was this big storm and there was like water in the boat and you were sleeping. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And then here's the really interesting part of this story. Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. It's kind of funny how we are as human beings. We just like to be afraid. We just like to be afraid. We like to fear. Here they are, fearing the storm. Jesus calms the storm, and then they're still in fear. This time, though, it's a good fear. They feared exceedingly. Now they're afraid of Jesus. Now they're afraid of Jesus. And by the way, they should have been afraid of Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. See, God is who we should fear, right? We've talked about that. God is who we should fear. God is not the only one that we fear, because we're humans and we fear other things that we shouldn't fear, but God is who we should fear. But if we were to make a classification of the biggest, baddest fears, you know that God would be the biggest, baddest fear. The biggest, baddest terror, the thing you're most afraid of, if you're afraid of something, if someone is coming against you in a negative way, who would that be the most fearful one? It would be God. If God is moving against you, that's a scary thing. And then here's what Jesus is trying to teach them. If I'm the scariest thing, and I'm with you, what are you afraid of? My kids were watching this little documentary about lions and, you know, animals out in Africa. We were watching it with them. And I tell you, those lions, there's a reason why the Bible equates the devil to a lion. Because those lions are bad. They eat their own cubs. I mean, they do bad things. But there's this one little situation where they're following around this pride, and there's these three male lions that want nothing more than to kill these little cubs and eat them. But in this situation, it happens to be that their dad, the dad lion, actually cares for them and loves for them, and he's the biggest, baddest lion. So as long as he's around, the cubs are safe. Everyone else is afraid of dad. All these other lions that want to hurt the cubs, they're all afraid of big, bad dad. But as long as the cubs are with the most fearful one, they're good. And here's what I'm telling you. You and I are with the lion of the tribe of Judah. You and I are with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the most fearful, scary thing. Even the winds and the waves obey him. So if he's with us, even if he's asleep, you got nothing to fear. You got to focus on faith over fear. They were feared, the Bible says they feared exceedingly of Jesus in verse 41. But if they would have feared exceedingly of Jesus in verse 38, they wouldn't have been afraid. The point is this: if God is with us, then what have we to fear? Go to Psalm 27, if you would. I'm not sure if you kept your place in Psalm. If you can find the book of Psalms right in the center of the Bible, Psalm 27. Psalm 27 in verse 1. Psalm 27 in verse 1, the Bible says this, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh. Think about that statement. That's a pretty scary statement that David just made. Look at verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In what will I be confident? That the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Go to Psalm 118, look at verse 6. Psalm 118, verse 6. Psalm 118 and verse 6, the Bible says this. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. Amen. Don't miss it. The Lord is on my side. Notice these words. I will not fear. Now look, when the Lord's not on your side, you should be afraid. And when the Lord is on your side, you should still be afraid. But the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? You don't have to turn here. You go to 1 John, if you would. We'll finish up in 1 John. If you start in the book of Revelation and head backwards, you have Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. While you turn there, I'll read just a couple of these verses to you. Hebrews 13, 6. So that we may boldly say. Boldly is the opposite of fear. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody said this, we need to stop telling God how big our problems are and start telling our problems how big our God is. I mean, What shall we say then to these things? It's interesting that Paul says, here's what you need to tell these things that make you scared, these things that make you afraid, these things that keep you up at night, these things that make you anxious. Here's what you should say to these things. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, in order to overcome fear, we must focus on faith over fear. We must focus on the God that's the biggest, baddest God. The most fearful and dreadful thing is with us. The winds and the waves obey him. So we just focus on faith. Jesus said, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. This is the verse that we got an email about, somebody asking about. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I want you to understand that, like we've been talking about in this sermon, there is a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. Fear of God is very healthy. Fear of anything else is very unhealthy. This verse is talking about unhealthy fear. It's not talking about the fact that we don't fear God, because you can fear God and love God all at the same time. In fact, you're commanded to. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. This is unhealthy fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. See, here's the application. If we were to apply it to our story, we have the disciples there in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the torment, the winds and the waves, the great storm of wind, the waves beat, and the water is coming into the ship, and Jesus is asleep. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. See, if we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, if we know that God loves us and he's the biggest, baddest thing on earth, in the universe, then there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. See, the word perfect means mature, to come to perfection, to complete. As you and I grow in our Christian life, as we learn to love the Lord, to trust the Lord, to acknowledge the Lord, then that love will cast out unhealthy fear. That love will cast out all the wrong fear. Because if I fear God and God is with me, then I have nothing to fear. Psalm 23 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It says, he leadeth me. He leadeth me. And then it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Say, why don't I have to fear? I never have to fear when the Lord leadeth me. I never have to fear when I'm with God. Even if I feel like he's not paying attention. Even if I feel like he's fallen asleep. Even if I feel like, you know, what's the holdup here, Jesus? I don't need to be afraid. Because I can focus on faith over fear. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. How do we overcome fear? I'll just review these with you. Number one, we avoid those who are afraid. Number two, we consider the realistic consequences. Number three, we focus on faith over fear. We focus our faith on the one that we should fear over all the other little things that we want to fear, that we tend to fear, that we may fear. And we realize that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, thank you for the fact that you encourage us with this idea of fear. And Lord, I realize we all get afraid. Our minds start racing, and we start just thinking about the worst possible outcomes. And we can get overwhelmed with fear. Lord, help us to not have a spirit of fear. Help us to be practical. Help us to be wise. Help us to make good decisions based off the risks in our lives. But help us to never live a life of fear. Help us to not be overcome with the spirit of fear. Lord, we love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.